So as most of you know, I played basketball growing up. And I didn't really start playing basketball when I was little. I actually started playing basketball most of the way through elementary school. And as I started playing and started getting better, I developed a way to shoot. And in my developing a way to shoot, I actually developed an error in how I shot. I didn't know that, but as I continued to shoot and to play and to get better, I kept taking more and more shots, and my percentages just wouldn't get better. I couldn't make the number of shots that I wanted to make. So I started working with a coach over time, and he taught me to shoot different. He taught me to look at what I was doing, and what he saw was that I was arching my back as I was shooting. And when I would arch my back, I couldn't create the stability that I needed as I shot. So he taught me to stop arching and keep my back straight and square. And as I learned to do that, my percentages got better and I made more and more and more shots. Well, what happened is in time, I had some injuries and I stopped playing basketball for a while. And when I stopped playing, then when I came back to play, I found that I had the same issue with my back again. I started arching my back. And as I would just shoot and play, even now, as I go out and shoot baskets now, I find that when I start missing, what I'm doing is I'm arching my back as I'm trying to shoot the ball. Now, what does that possibly have to do with Galatians? What does it possibly have to do with us as Christians, with us as growing and knowing Christ? Well, we're going to see today that Paul references going back to things the way we used to do them, going back to things the way they used to be. See, I get an opportunity now to do something I don't typically get to do, and that's just look at an isolated little bit of this passage, something that sticks out. Because the overview is already there, and unless I'm going to take 2 weeks to go through each section of Scripture, I don't get a chance to do this. But since Jay has already been through this passage, we're gonna look at it. We're going to look at two verses. This is one of the few times you'll ever see two verses listed as, especially two verses that aren't together, listed as our passage for a morning. It's Galatians 4 verses 3 and 9. We're going to read 4, 1 to 10 and just see what's going on here, and then we'll see what's going on in 3 and 9. Paul writes, "I mean that an heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those things that are by nature not God's. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid that I have labored over you in vain." There's really one word that sticks out to me in all of this, but it's two words in all of our Bibles. That word is, could you stick it up here for me? Sorry, we're behind. That's all right. That word is right there. Stoikion. Stoikion is elementary principles. Stoikion is actually what we're going to look at today. What it meant to them, what it means to us. Because see, they had a problem. Their problem, if you look at verse 3, says that they were slaves to this stoikion, this elementary set of principles or rules that they used to live by. That makes sense to us, right? He's writing to believers, And they were enslaved in the past to these elementary principles, these stoichion. But in verse 9, he says, now that you've been set free, why are you making yourselves slaves again to this stoichion? Why are you doing that? They used to be slaves. Now they're not, but they're trying to act like or live like they are. That's an issue. That's an issue because once we've been set free, to go back to the way that it used to be is just not okay. To go back to the way that everything else is does not work. Elementary principles is one way to translate this word. Some Bibles sometimes have elementary spirits, though that's not usually an accepted way to put it. That's not the most accepted way anyway, I should say. So what are stoichion? It's the elementary principles, but if we break it down further than that, what are stoichion? Because until we understand what that is, we can't understand what it means and how it impacts our life. See, stoichion are elementary building blocks. Elementary, basic, needed, fundamental building blocks. In language, it would be like the sounds that I make in order to make words. I can make lots of sounds. I can say, you teach your kids to read or to know letters. A, B, D, F. I can say all of those things and it wouldn't mean anything. But I begin to compile those into groups of sounds, and I compile those groups of sounds into long strings of groups of sounds, and all of a sudden I have sentences that make sense. Okay, the building blocks are the things that I use to create those sentences. If I were French, I would use different building blocks to create my sentences. Right? So there's going to be groups of people who use different basic principles to build what they do. Now see, it's not just bad that there's elementary principles, because there has to be. There has to be fundamental things. But he's going to chastise them in verse 9 because they're following weak and worthless elementary principles. Let's step back before we get there. What were the stoichion to them? Okay, in order to understand anything about the Bible, there's something that you need to know. Until you figure out what it meant to the people who are originally reading it, you cannot figure out what it means now. Well, the meaning hasn't changed. Until you figure out what the intended purpose was for those people receiving the letter, you cannot figure out what it means. Because if I write a letter to a person, and then somebody else grabs that letter and tries to read it without thinking what I meant here, they will never, never, never understand it. So what did Paul mean to the Galatians when he said elementary principles, when he said that they were following these stoichion? What did he mean? It's actually really simple. Well, you read through Galatians and it makes complete sense. You read through even this section and it's going to make complete sense. If you even just look at one verse down toward the end, you're going to see what he's talking about. Verse 10 says, you observe days and months and seasons and years. You observe the Jewish law. That's what Paul is referring to. And it's important to understand that, because what he's saying to these people is the systems that you were following, the systems that you were engaging in, the systems you're now trying to go back to, was a legalistic system where if you did the right things, regardless of what your heart was, you were okay. And if you did the wrong things, you were condemned. That's the elementary principles that they followed. That's the elementary principles that they understood. We've talked about that ad nauseum, it seems like, through this book, because that's what Paul keeps going back to. They were slaves to following this system. They had no choice. In Romans, Paul says that we're slaves to sin. We have no choice before knowing Christ. We have no choice but to sin. There's nothing else in us. All there is sin and following sin. So here we are. We're slaves. Stuck. Stuck not just to sin, but to the stoichion. We're stuck to following these elementary principles that we can't get away from. That's where they were. And now they're believers. And when you become a believer in Jesus, and what we mean by believer is when you become somebody who trusts Jesus to save you, trusts Jesus to forgive you, and then when you trust Him, His Holy Spirit enters you and your life radically changes. It doesn't just change a little bit. It changes completely. It changes drastically. See, sin upends everything good. It's like the inverse of a number. If you've got 100 and you take the inverse of 100, it's 1/100th. If you take 2 and you take the inverse of 2, it's 1/2. Sin takes all of these things that are really, really good and it flips them around so that they're really, really little or really, really bad. That's the way sin works. And then when we come out of that system, when you become a believer, when you trust Him and He enters you, it's like God takes all of these things that are you and He flips them again to make you almost the opposite of what you were. You change, the Bible says. You repent, which means to turn away from. And you become a different person. And Jesus goes so far as to say, if after you've become a believer, if you don't see these changes, the issue is not me not working in you. The issue is that you never became a believer. Because see, He says, if He's in you, He will make you different. Not that He might. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, everyone who is in me bears good fruit. Everyone who is in Christ bears good fruit. We don't become slaves to stoichion anymore. We're set free from that. So Paul, writing to the Galatians, saying that you've been set free from this stoichion, he's saying to them, you have been set free from the law of the Jews. You do not have to follow that anymore in order to be a good follower of Christ. You are not bound by that. Now he's going to put a whole new set of law on us. Not really a law, it's really a grace. It's really an expectation that now that you've come to know Him and be known by Him, you're going to become somebody wholly different. And Paul is working up to that in chapter 5. But we're not in chapter 5 yet. We're still stuck just trying to figure out what these stoichion are, so that we can begin to understand what life looks like not being enslaved to them. Because, see, the Jews knew, the Gentiles knew that they've been set free from these principles, from these stoichion. So what's the issue? See, even the Jewish believers knew that they were set free. Paul, writing at the beginning of this letter, says that he and Titus and Barnabas went to Jerusalem to meet with Peter and James and John. And Titus was a Greek. Titus was uncircumcised. And even Titus wasn't even asked to become circumcised. It's not just the circumcision, but it's the then following the law that goes along with that. Titus wasn't even asked to do that. They understood we've been set free from this. We now live on a wholly different plane. But if we move down to the second verse here, but now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to where you used to be? How can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world whose slaves you want to become once more? Well, that causes me to stop and think. Because this is now no longer just a past tense where they were, but a present tense where they are, to even a future tense where they're trying to go. They're trying to become slaves. They're trying to enslave themselves to something else. So what were the stoichion for them? For them, it went back. As far as I know, I never lived there. I've never known these people. But as far as I understand, their stoichion would go back again to saying, let's just work hard enough and God will love us. That was their issue. That was their hang up. And see, we don't even always understand that this is happening to us. That's what's so hard. Because I guarantee, as I was describing my basketball shot, I guarantee when I now go back and I'm shooting and I'm missing and I finally figure out I'm doing the same thing that I used to 10 years ago or 12 years ago, I didn't intentionally say, I'm going to go back to a system of shooting that doesn't work. I'm going to go back to a system where I miss 30% more of my shots. I just sort of naturally revert and then have to realize the reversion and reverse what's going on. See, we do that. Well, before we get to us, they did that. They went back to the systems they had been used to their whole life. They went back to what was comfortable and normal for them, even comfortable and normal for the people around them. And now Paul has to write a letter saying, you're trying to become a slave to something that doesn't work. But that was them. What about us? See, now we're in a whole different ball game. Because now I have to try to figure out what stoichion is in my life. What were the elementary principles that I used to follow, that I've been set free from, that perhaps I'm enticed or even just laxing myself into becoming a slave of again? Mine are different than yours. Yours are different than the person next to you. So as we begin to talk through this, we have to understand a couple of things. The issues in my life are not the issues in your life. You need to understand that you can't impose your issues on me and I can't impose my issues on you. I need to understand that when I see you doing something, maybe we're doing it for wholly different reasons. Maybe not. I need to understand that if I see you doing something that fits these stoichion, because there are certain things that will just fit them, I should approach you on that. Conversely, if you see me doing them, you should approach me. Not out of a, let me tell you how terrible you're doing, but out of a place that says, I don't want to see you enslaved to these stoichion. I don't want to see me enslaved to these. I don't want to see our body enslaved to these elementary worthless principles. But as we begin, and as you begin to honestly think through these, what you're going to find is almost everybody around you succumbs to this. You're going to look at the culture around you, and if you're a believer, you're going to see unbelievers living by a set of principles and systems and rules and thoughts that do not make sense. But unfortunately, you're also going to see believers around you living by these same principles and same thoughts and same laws and same reasons that just don't work. And if you are honest about it, you'll become overwhelmed with a sense of, oh my goodness, where are we going? What is happening? Because see, one of the issues is we have not set expectations that say we're not going to follow Stoicheion anymore. We've set expectations that say, as long as you're not as bad as other people, you're doing okay. But that's really the first Stoicheion that we've got to be careful of. Okay is not okay. The only thing that God requires of us, asks of us, now that we're His followers, if you are His follower, if you're not, you cannot live by this system. But if you are His follower, if His Holy Spirit actually resides in you, calling Abba, Father, help me, God, please. If that's you with the Holy Spirit in you, then His expectation for you is that you live a holy life. Not a good life, not an okay life, a holy life. Lots of times we talk about living a holy life as though you're doing okay. You're partway there. You're doing well. We sort of view living a holy life like it's a long race. And all you have to do is keep plodding forward. Now, our life is a race. Paul uses our Christian life even as a race. But we sort of set the bar out there as, well, someday eventually you'll reach the end and it's okay. You don't have to reach the end till you actually reach the end. See, Jesus' expectation for us doesn't look like a race. It looks more like jumping a high bar. And if you're trying to do the high jump and you miss it by a quarter inch, you miss. They don't say you're trying to jump, I don't know, I could probably jump at least 18 and a half inches over a high bar. They don't say Brock made 18 and a quarter inches if I'm trying to make 18 and a half inches. They don't say you made 65 and 3/4 inches if you're going for 66. They just say you didn't make it. That's the Christian life. That's what God expects. He doesn't expect close. He expects perfection. He also knows we're going to fail, which is where and why He gives us grace and grace on grace and grace on grace on grace. He gives us more and more and more of what we don't deserve, His love and His forgiveness. He gives us less and less and less of what we do deserve, which is His judgment. That's His grace and His mercy that He pours out on us because we fail. But that doesn't mean it's okay to fail. Failing is not okay. Failing is failing. Okay is failing. Good is failing. And here's our very first Stoicheion. We evaluate the world in a system that says better than average, below average, comparatively okay. God doesn't work like that. He doesn't look at the believers around us. Okay, forget the believers around us. He doesn't look at me and say, could be worse. And that's okay. He says, needs to be better. Needs to be wholly, radically given over to me. Because if He actually has done for me what He says He's done for me, what else could I give other than a wholly given over me to Him? That's what He requires. Our first stoichion is that we compare things wrong. We compare it with the world's system instead of with God's system. But see, that's really big picture, and it can mean about a million different things. So let's just talk for a little bit about stoichion, about these principles, what they are, how we find them, and how we don't live by them. See, these are really hard for me because I'm really bad sometimes at these. I'm really bad at actually living the way I'm called to live, and really good at living the way that I know I shouldn't. So it's difficult at times to even stand here and tell you what it means, though I understand what it means, because I know how far short I fall. But let's talk about them nonetheless. A basic question that you can ask yourself that will get you online, because I cannot talk about everything right now. A basic question you can ask yourself to figure out what to do or how to evaluate is step back, look at the world, and say, what do they do? And then don't do it. Well, that sounds really godly, and that sounds really normal, but let's look at it like this. I have lived enough years, and it's not even that many, to see this trend. When your kids are really little, obviously they need a lot of your attention, because they can't eat by themselves. They can't cook their own food. They can't do their own laundry. They can't do all this stuff. Okay, I get that. Set that aside. Now they're 6 years old. Something starts when they're 5, 6 years old. Sports. Sports when they're 5 and 6 year old. It's great. It's like 5 weeks long. One night, maybe two nights a week for like 30 minutes. Really simple, really easy. And then all of a sudden they become 8. And instead of once or twice a week, it's 2 or 3 times a week for 45 minutes. And then they become 10 and 12. And all of a sudden it's 4 times a week for an hour and a half. But see, it's not just that, because it used to be 5 weeks long. And now it's 10 to 12 weeks long. So you went for 5 weeks in, for us it was soccer. And then you could do swim team after that, let's say. And they'd never overlapped until they got to be 8 or 10 years old. Now all of a sudden, your kids love both of them and they overlap. And now what happens? You could still make it work, which is unfortunate. If they would just schedule them all at exactly the same time, it would be easier, but they don't. You can still make it work. And something happens. You become busy. Not even because you're doing things, but you're taking kids to things. Sometimes it's only one of your kids, but the other two are there with you. Or when it gets really great, one kid goes one place, and then you take another kid another place, and then you take another kid another place, and then you're trying to coordinate who goes and picks up who when, and all your life is running around in the system. But they're out of trouble. But they're liking sports. And all of a sudden, you know what you've begun to do? You've begun this process of helping your children excel really well in this world. But I dare you to find one place in the scripture where we're told our goal is to help our kids excel in this world. Because it ain't there. God cares about this world. He loves this world. He loves us in this world. But he does not care about this world the way that we think about it. He doesn't care about us making money. He doesn't care about us getting rich. He doesn't care about us having power. He cares about developing his kingdom, which is not just getting more people in his kingdom. He cares about developing the people who are in his kingdom to make them like his son. And then as they go out and share that with the world, more people become part of his kingdom who then get made to be like his son. But we, get caught up in stoichion. We get caught up in a system that says, I want to help my kids get ahead in the world. I want to help my kids excel. I want to help me excel. I want me to look good, maybe as their parent, maybe just as a person. I had an opportunity to write an article for the paper this next week, and I knew what I wanted to write. And I wrote about busyness. Because it's not just putting our kids' stuff in all this tangled mess of schedule. But all of a sudden we find, oh, if I work a few more hours, I will go places. I will get promotions. I will get more money. I will be looked up to. There's a common thing in all of that. It's all about me. See, sometimes, this is not all the time. Maybe it's most of the time. What God requires of us is to put people and helping them know Christ ahead of things, which would include maybe work, which would include maybe busyness. If you don't have your kids in football when they're 8 years old, yeah, they may never make the varsity football team. That's not the end of the world. If you don't put in 70 hours a week, maybe you don't get a promotion. Not the end of the world. That's not your job. Your job is not to get ahead. Your job as a believer is to live outside the stoichion that everybody else functions by. And live by a calling that says what I care about is knowing Christ. What I care about is becoming like Him. What I care about is helping others become like Him. And when that happens, you're free from these. We're coming into a time of year where stoichion is going to be all around us in the shape of Christmas. And I am going to see things on TV that I didn't know existed, but now think I need to have. I am going to see people get stuff, and I'm not opposed to people getting stuff. There's sometimes things that you need. God has blessed you with money to get sometimes things that you want. But see, our problem is that we get things that we want for us to use. I guarantee you this. God did not put you a steward. God did not put you in charge of His stuff so that you could use it for you. That's one of the other stoichion that we jump into. It's one of the ones that I can fall into. My stuff is for me. God gave this to me. I can even look at it in a really godly way. God gave me this so that I could take care of it and not let anyone else use it. Right? That's how we function. I'm afraid somebody else might break my stuff. I get stuff at Christmas, not because we need it. And this is a big struggle for me. And my wife and I have talked about this over the years. People are like, what do you want? And I always tell them what I want. She always tells them what our family needs. See, I'm like, it's Christmas. This should be for me. But it's not for me. That's one of my issues. I like stuff. Not just stuff. I like nice stuff. Then I like lots of nice stuff, and then I like more nice stuff, and then I like nicer stuff. That's just me. Maybe nobody else. But see, I get that, and I think that it's for me. But the reality is God gave it to me so that I could build His kingdom with it. I don't care what it is that just came to your mind, that thing that you have. God gave it to you to build His kingdom with it. And when you begin to do anything other than build His kingdom with it, then you're falling into this stoichion problem. You're following a system that says it's for me instead of a system that says it's his. But everyone else does it. Nobody else is being challenged to not do this. I don't care. I told you, one of the issues is that we look around and say, what is everyone else doing? And then typically we follow suit. What we need to do is look around at the world and say, what is the typical process everyone else is using? And then not use that process. Because if their process was right, if the normal process was right, then Jesus came for no reason. Because we're already on the right track. But Jesus came because we were not on the right track. I-80 goes through Nebraska. We drove it all the time. I don't care if you think you're on I-80. If you're going west when you need to be going east, you may be on the right road headed the wrong way. You may begin to have some of the right thoughts, but if you're going the wrong way, if you're ending up in the wrong place, it doesn't matter how far west you go on I-80, you're not going to get to the East Coast. We need to change. Jesus came to give us a different way to go, to put us on the other track, as it were. So that we didn't have to follow what everyone else followed. So that we didn't have to do what everyone else does. So that we could follow Him. So that we could hand everything that we are, everything that we have, everything we will be, everything our family is to Him to build His kingdom. Because it's His stuff. And now all of a sudden you're following a whole different set of fundamental principles. You're not following weak and worthless stoichion. You're not becoming a slave to what everyone else is enslaving themselves to. You're becoming free to follow Him. You're becoming about a whole different set of fundamental principles. A set of fundamental principles that starts with the question, how does this further God's kingdom? How would this most honor Christ? A set of fundamental principles that take you in a totally different direction. Do not, Paul says, become again a slave to the stoichion of this world, of the culture around you. Become a follower of Jesus. Because if you are someone with the Holy Spirit in you, you are called to be His follower, wholly and completely, radically given over to Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this morning. Thank You, Lord, for loving us. God, thank You for even giving us the opportunity to challenge ourselves, to be challenged by You about these fundamental elementary principles. God, I ask that You open our hearts this Christmas season to see You and to know You. God, to love You and to use what You've given us to further Your kingdom. We do love You, Lord. It's in Your amazing name we pray. Amen.